getting better. Obviously, it's a game they should win, but you're going to see them come out and play a little better. Things were clicking. When things click, I don't care what level it's at, who you're playing, it's good. You sleep better.
Absolutely. Great Northern Conference and three blowouts and one tight game. Mosinee, as expected, able to go out and knock off Lakeland 40-7. Gavin Obremski, 11-15, 232 yards on just 15 attempts. He had four touchdowns and a pick. Our student athlete guest for later in the program, Davin Stoffel, had four catches, 101 yards, two touchdowns, and also added nine tackles on defense.
And they didn't play much. I mean, these kids were out mid-third quarter for sure. I was very impressed with Mosinee. I think they're starting to, their young linemen are starting to get on track. Their skill kids are as good as you're going to find.
Mm-hmm.
But I liked what I saw. I think their first two plays, they scored touchdowns. But that's what you want to see. You want to see them get better, get in the areas. Now, Mosinee has played two pretty good teams.
Right.
And I think that's another evidence of we play good competition because we want to find out where we're weak and get better at it. That game really gave Mosinee a lot of confidence.
Also, Medford, they took care of business. Been a impressive couple of weeks for the Medford Raiders. They shut out Merrill 43-0. Peyton Gillis had 136 yards and a touchdown for Medford in that game as Medford again continues to run the football.
Yeah, again, their weakness will not be running. It'll be passing the ball. I think the Baumgartner kid this year will be better. I think they're going to play okay defense. Not a lot of depth. You're going to be hard-pressed to stop Medford's run game. But as you get deep in the playoffs, you will, and they've got to prepare for that.
Absolutely. Antigo was looking for two wins in a row, but they made the trek to Hayward, fell 36-0. Alex DePew was 10 of 13, 155 yards, a couple of scores for Hayward. They also ran the ball, basically about 8 yards per carry, 40 carries, 279 yards as a team, and the Red Robins held to just 104 yards of total offense.
Well, they hit a hurricane. Antigo was
good
really...
Good pun,
yeah, Antigo, Hayward Hurricanes. Antigo's young. Remember, they got to worry about just building. I think they start like nine sophomores. And you know you're gonna, and but hey, compliments to Hayward. Hayward had been struggling. They just did what they needed to do.
And the finger holds.
So I told to turn on my microphone. We've talked about this in the past. When you play sophomores, they're just physically not developed yet.
You're talking 14, 15-year-old kid, maybe playing an 18-year-old kid.
Exactly. And the one close game in the conference, tough loss for Rhinelander on their home fields. They played it on two different fields.
Lightning,
Friday
they
night.
Moved in the dome.
Exactly, but Rhinelander fell to Ashland by a score of 8-6. Ethan Peterson, 16 rushes, 160 yards, and a touchdown for Ashland. They had 270 yards rushing as a team, 6.3 yards per carry. Peyton Campbell, 31 rushes, 145 yards, and a lone touchdown for Rhinelander.
This was a typical GNC game. You know, whoever made the mistake was going to, and it was a tough game either way. Rhinelander and Ashland just don't have explosive players. If they're going to win games, they got to not turn the ball or play good defense and go on drives.
Merrillwood Conference, one of the tight games. Actually, it would have been a great game to watch because it was nip and tuck in Pittsville. But the Panthers fell to the Assumption Royals 23-20. Jack Klatt had a touchdown run with 1:46 left in the fourth quarter to win it for Assumption. Three rushers between 60 and 88 yards for the Royals. They had 268 yards as a team. Dylan Luther had a big night for Pittsville, 14 carries, 133 yards. But for Assumption, a significant win.
Well, they needed this win. They needed to get kind of back on track. They were my pick to win the small. And I think they've got a lot of experience back, but it's just not clicking right now. I think towards the end of this game, it clicked. You know, they're still the team to beat.
Mm-hmm. Edgar took care of business against the Pacelli Cardinals, 48-0. Again, the defense was the big performer for the Wildcats. Their D held the Cardinals to 55 yards of total offense. Carter Butt had nine tackles in the game. But, again, you look at the offensive numbers, they don't blow you away. It's always the defense that sets up the offense for Edgar.
But you also notice the offense doesn't commit errors.
Mm-hmm.
Penalties, turnovers. And they play good special teams. That's been Jerry Sins. That's been his game plan for 40-some years. Don't make mistakes on offense, and we're not going to let you run the ball on defense.
Marathon gets a win over Rochelle 36-0, a game that was broadcast right here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9. Hector Pintor had 99 yards rushing for Marathon. Marathon put up well over 300 yards of total offense in the first half, scored all 36 points in the first half. Matt Annis had 3 touchdowns as well for the Red Raiders. So Marathon now 2-1 overall, and that does count as a conference win in that Marawood CWC's crossover.
Again, this was a big victory for Marathon. They needed this. I mean, when's the last time Marathon was 2-1? It's been a while.
It has.
And that means they're on the right track. I mean, yeah, get it. You play whoever, but your kids are believing what's going on, and that's the key. Now they're going to have some tough games coming up. Mm-hmm. They've got one coming up here soon, so it's something that they can build on. And again, when they see those tough opponents, they're going to have to not commit errors.
Absolutely. Colby, boy, they just continue to steamroll.
They are impressive.
Yeah, they steamroll their opponents, and they went on the road, beat Iola Scandinavia 56-20. It was 35-0 after one, 49-0 at halftime, 417 yards rushing on 34 attempts, 7 touchdowns for Colby. Parker Gullickson, had 153 yards on the ground for Iola Scandinavia. But right now, that Colby machine just keeps rolling.
Well, mark your calendar. September 16th, Edgar. It's Edgar's homecoming.
That's coming up.
You're probably a good game to get to if you can. You know, Colby and Edgar are on a different level than these other teams. And what I mean by a different level, their culture is like set in stone.
Mm-hmm.
Their culture, they know. They played their JV and their JV seconds for 2 quarters. Those kids just got 2 quarters. A freshman got quarters of varsity experience. What does that tell you is going to happen next year? When we think the gun's not loaded, it's loaded. I mean, those kids are getting experience. They're doing things. And it's like Edgar.
Auburndale is yet to allow a point this season. The third straight shutout for the Auburndale Eagles. They shut down Loyal 35-0. Evan Scholl, 10 carries, 91 yards, a score for Auburndale. They have outscored their opponents 173-0 so far this year.
Yeah, it's amazing that they have not allowed a score yet. I have no idea what's going on with their defense. They haven't played a lot of tough opponents, but still to shut people out, that's amazing.
Abbotsford won a forfeit over Wild Rose in the crossover. They had a replacement game against Ladysmith also canceled. So no game last week for Abbotsford, unfortunately, for the Falcons.
Yeah, I don't know what the issue was there. I looked at the score. You know, you never know what's going on.
Got to take a quick break, but we still have to talk about the CWC Large and 8-player football from last week as well. And again, don't forget, we have our guest coming up, Tim Strelo from DC Everest, the head football coach at 640, and Mosinee senior Davin Stoffel at 706. With Paul Novinsky, I'm Chad Holmes. It's the Big High School Sports Show on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. And welcome back to the Big High School Sports Show on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 FM and 1230 AM, online at bowfallsradio.com. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO. With Paul Davinsky, I'm Chad Holmes, and we are talking about week number 3 of the high school football season last week, and we're up to the CWC Large, and Amherst found a way. It was a low-scoring affair. They knocked off Shiocton 14-7. Matthew Gladowski, 146 yards and 2 touchdowns for Amherst. Dawson Schmidt, 12 of 17 for 106, a touchdown and a pick for Shiocton. But Amherst found a way to get a much-needed win.
Well, I kind of figured this would be a very close game just because Amherst, you know, they're not as explosive as they've been in the past. But, again, good coaching. You look at the way kids, hey, play within your limits. Let's not have any turnovers, give up any big. They didn't give up the big plays that Shiocton had been getting. And then they just grinded enough offense to win.
Wittenberg, Burnhamwood, boy, terrific start for the Chargers. A nice road win at Spencer Columbus, 35-0. It was scoreless after the first quarter, but then Wittenberg, Burnhamwood scored 27 in the second. Nathan Wapenkine. I'm going to have to get this right because he's doing so many great things this year, but he was 5 of 14. Not great percentage, but 111 yards, 2 touchdowns, no interceptions. David Goderman, 60 yards rushing for the Chargers. Coy Berlowski had 10 tackles to lead the defense. But that's, again, Spencer Columbus, well-coached team to go on the road. Good win for Whitburn.
Oh, big time. I mean, and again, I know we always think that these games are going to be like, oh, we're going to win quite easily. That's not the way life is. That's not the way football is. You need those struggles because sometimes you're just not yourself. You're sick. You're this. Something happened at school. You're just – they're playing well.
Mm-hmm.
You just – you got it. You build your season by having the struggles.
Stratford, boy, they went to Manawa and they just rolled it up 50-6, and they were able to do it through the air and on the ground. Braden Schuller, 9 of 16 for 189 and 3 touchdowns and a pick for the Tigers. Kaylor Kilty, 14 rushes, 105 yards, and 2 touchdowns for Stratford. It was only 14-6 at halftime, but then Stratford apparently wore him down because they outscored Manawa in the second half 36-0.
Yeah, they, again, Stratford's physical. I mean, they were 14-0 against Edgar, you know, that was a good score. Stratford still got guys. They just don't have those explosive people. And again, they're passing game. But they really found a way to run the ball well and deliver the pass when they needed to. Again, that's been their demise. I mean, you know, they have, in the last few years, they have been able to be the good team.
Mm-hmm.
And they got to work on it because that's how you go in the playoffs, mm-hmm. to beat the good teams. And you got to run an offense and a defense that beats the good teams. And they got to figure that out.
Wyoega Fremont is 3-0. They beat Nakusa 41-12. Good balance, 252 yards on the ground, 182 through the air for Wyoega Fremont. Cashton Hoffman, 136 yards rushing. Nakusa got 159 yards on 23 carries from Jonathan Wenzel. Again, Wyoega.
First-year coach. He's 3-0.
Exactly. It's like, you know, a program that had not won a lot of football games. No. And they're not, these, again, not the meat of their schedule, but boy, what spring in the step of everybody, I bet.
Last time Wyoega was 3-0 was like maybe 15 years ago. So
really good.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, good for them.
Yep.
And yet one of the things I've heard on the street is this new coach played at Iola. And so he obviously knows what good coaching, what good playing is. And I think he got more kids out. You know, you get something new. It's like opening a new ice cream parlor. Boom. People are going. So he's got something going there. And, you know, good for them. You know, good for Wyoega.
Absolutely. Let's turn to, before we turn to A-player, you were telling me during the break.
Well, I want to talk about two things. Sure. Number one, Thursday I went and got out of the area a little bit. What I mean by out of our union, I went and watched Clintonville play Crandon. Now, Crandon's 3-0. Clintonville was 2-0, now 2-1. It was a great game. Clintonville's got a very good quarterback, this 6'5 junior Rosen now is. He's probably thrown for 800-900 yards on the season. And a few other wide receivers, missing some other key parts. But I'll tell you, Crandon's got a nice football team. They're running straight T. They're running more power football. And they play fairly good defense. It was a very good game. I'll tell you, that Northwoods Conference is better than we think.
Mm.
And, you know, Tom Hawkins, Sam Hernandez has talked about that.
Mm-hmm.
Crandon's a team that, watch out. I think they're going to be okay. I think they're going to make the playoffs. And you watch Northwoods. Watch the Northwoods. You know, they had a team go to state last year.
Absolutely. And he was also
and then I,
some
well,
Clover
I got to tell you, I, you know, Cloverbelt, I cannot believe. Nielsville. Nielsville is now 2-1, and they beat Elk Mound. And they weren't supposed to beat Elk Mound. And they beat him suddenly. This Brown kid rushed for 235 yards. Mm. And that's kind of unheard in the Cloverbelt because mm-hmm. the Cloverbelt is a really physical conference and they play well in the box. So it's amazing that we're starting to see some new blood, some new teams winning, stuff like that. To me, that's good for everybody.
8-player football, number one ranked Newman Catholic Cardinals. Another road trip up north, more than 2 hours on the bus, but a nice bus ride home for Newman as they defeated Florence 49-6. Connor Crock, 10 of 18 for 185 yards, 2 touchdowns. Also ran the ball 8 times for 97 yards and a touchdown. Ben Hardesty, a terrific defensive performer for Newman. He had 7 tackles, a sack and a half as well for Newman Catholic. Both games, a little bit of a slow start for Newman once they got rolling. They put that pedal down and earned another big win on the road.
Again, I don't think you're going to stop the Newman offense. I don't see it possible. They have too many weapons. They're too well coached. I just like the fact that they struggle a little bit. Now, obviously, the bus ride up to Florence isn't easy. I mean, you might want to bring your passport again. but they took care of business. Mm-hmm. And again, they'll probably get better as a result of this. And it's a team they don't usually see much. It's a different kind of a team.
That's part of the Central.
I like their mascot, the Bobcats.
Yeah, that's a good one as well. That's part of the Central-Northern border crossovers. An eight-player, the first three games of the season are crossovers. Central taking on Northern Border. Other games in those crossovers, Almond Bancroft got whipped up by Wabino Leona, the number four-ranked team in the state, who will be coming to Newman on Saturday. Wabino Leona 50 to Almond Bancroft 8. Carter Janish, 13 of 29, 221 yards, 3 touchdowns, 10 rushes, 148 yards, and 4 scores. Tough matchup for Almond, but Wabino, a very good football team.
Well, and again, they are a good football team. I think last year the only thing they lost was their quarterback. And so this, and a team that was very close to
semifinalists.
Yeah. It's going to be, I don't want to not talk about their game, but they're physical.
Yeah.
You look at the score, you look at their film, I mean, they're physical. This is going to be a humongous test, and we'll talk about it. Humongous test for Newman.
Also in those Central Conference versus Northern Border crossovers, Port Edwards, 47-0 over Niagara. Timmy Tranel, 6 of 8 passing, 94 yards and 2 touchdowns, 98 yards of total offense only for Niagara. So for Port, a good win.
Great win, and, you know, they had an incident, and my heart's prayers go out to the Port Edwards community and school, things like that. That was a humongous win. Max Ayers is a good coach. You go all the way up. They are almost in the UP. That was a big win for their program. He's trying to create something special there.
Three Lakes, they had a rough go against Newman in week one. They got well. They defeated Boulder Gresham 74-6. Josh Kogar, 200 yards rushing. Jared Kaufman, 190 yards passing, 4 touchdowns for Three Lakes. It must have felt good to be tested against Newman and then take some of the lessons against a weaker squad.
Here's the thing that when you play Newman, Newman has so many weapons. They throw the ball. They run the ball. They run trick plays. They do all kinds of things that you don't really see that from a traditional team. Most teams, they run wing T, they run double wing, they run I. Newman runs multiple offenses at you. They run complex schemes. So early in the season, it's probably difficult to defend Newman even more. I mean, it's always difficult to defend them, but they do that. And again, I'm impressed, you know, with the Newman defense, and we'll talk more about that later.
The interesting matchups are actually the CWC East against the CWC West, and it was all East, 6-0 in those matchups. But there are some really good teams, and that's going to be, I think, by far the best conference in eight-player football this year. Thorpe, a good matchup because McDonald is expected to be, I think, a playoff team this year.
Yeah.
And Thorpe knocked off McDonald 50-27. Logan Hansen had 18 carries, 259 yards, and 4 touchdowns for Thorpe as they continued their very nice transition to the eight-player game.
Every team that Oak Cloverwood won. I mean, they're physical. I mean, this is good stuff. You know this football well.
Yeah.
I mean, they're going to come at. They got players. And you see some of these scores. They're putting up 50, 60 points. And their defense is playing well. So the old rivalries are back. Owen Withy will get there. I mean, Athens, all these teams, they're getting after it.
Athens made a nice comeback. They were actually down going into the fourth quarter. They trailed 16-8 at halftime, had a 24-6 fourth quarter to win it, 38-22 over Lake Holcomb. Kyler Ellenbecker, those Ellenbeckers keep coming for Athens.
Everywhere.
Yeah, 30 rushes for 237 yards and 4 touchdowns. Also, 8 of 16 passing for 159. So that's over almost 400 yards of total offense for Ellenbecker in that win. But again, a nice comeback win.
Yeah, humongous. They're young. We watched them scrimmage. They weren't playing a lot. You know, they got a few seniors, but they're also playing young players. So that was a big thing for them to progress and get better.
Absolutely. Also, Gilman knocked off Bruce 48-0. Gilman looks like they're just continuing to roll. Troy Dolman had 110 yards rushing for Gilman. Grady Kreplin, 12 tackles as the Gilman D allowed only 81 yards. So a great year last year for Gilman. Looks like Coach Rosemeyer has another good squad this year.
Well, you know, Chad, I don't mean to harp on this, but and I know we don't have much time, but you know the coaches that have been around for a while that have been six. Robin Rosemeyer has won 11-man football state championship, almost won an 8-man football state football championship. Robin Rosemeyer and his coaching staff, they know what they're doing. And, you know, granted, they're going to have up and down years, but Robin Rosemeyer is going to get the most out of his players, and you can see that. And matter of fact, almost all, Terry Lobby, the one with the, they just – they'll adjust. They'll get things done, and that's what you're seeing. And you talk about culture, that's kind of where they're at.
Owen Withy, you just mentioned Coach Terry Lauby and his squad as they roll past Prairie Farm last week, 53-12 to move to 2-0. Colin Dahlman, 161 yards and a touchdown. Logan Amaker had 110 yards rushing and 2 touchdowns for Owen Withy. So Owen Withy 2-0, Gilman 2-0, Athens 2-0, Thorpe 2-0.
Yeah, that's a tough league. I mean, that's old-style football. You know that. And what I mean by old-style football is they usually have some linemen, they have some skilled kids, and they're physical. Mm-hmm. They'll come at you. Newman knows that well.
And Greenwood 1-1 after knocking off New Auburn 48-8. River Glenn 5-6 passing, 121 yards, 3 touchdowns for Greenwood. Christian Thomas 14 rushes, 129 yards and 3 touchdowns. Greenwood had a rough week 1 against McDonald, but a good bounce back and another of those old Cloverwood teams on the winning track.
Again, I think McDonald's a pretty good football team, and I think Greenwood's young, and I think they'll get there. Again, their coach has been around the block.
So that's a look at some of the action from last week. We will preview week number 4 coming up a little bit later in the program, but our next two segments will be our guests. Coming up at 7:06, we'll be joined by Davin Stoffel, the outstanding multi-sport athlete at Mosinee High School. But coming up next, we will talk to the head football coach of the D.C. Everest Evergreens. We'll talk to Tim Strelo coming up next here on the Big High School Sports Show on Bow Falls Radio 98.9, online at bowfallsradio.com. Also on mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO. And welcome back to the Big High School Sports Show on Bow Falls Radio 98.9 and 1230. Online at bowfallsradio.com and mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO. With Paul Novinsky, I'm Chad Holmes, and very happy to welcome our coach guest for this week from the D.C. Everest Evergreens, head coach Tim Strelo. And coach, great to talk to you again.
Yes, thank you for having me on again this year.
Absolutely. 2 wins and 1 loss so far, 1-0 in the Valley Football Association. Coming off a blowout win against Appleton West in Week 3, a third of the way through the season. How would you grade your squad up to this point?
Yeah. First of all, it's crazy to think that we're already a third of the way through and we're pretty much just getting started at school. So far, pretty good. I think that, you know, we stumbled a little bit against Chippewa Falls. I was very pleased with how we played against Preble. And I was very, very pleased at how we responded from Chippewa Falls against Appleton West. And, you know, I thought our defensive coaches had a heck of a game plan against Appleton West and did a really nice job.
Hey, Coach, Coach Novinsky, congrats so far. You know, I watched you scrimmage. I watched your Preble game. And then I watched a bit of your last game. Would it be a fair assumption to say that your team has really improved, especially, you know, with the run game and playing defense?
Yeah, oh, absolutely. You know, I think our, you know, credit to our coaches, Coach Matt Kleinschmidt and Luke Coonan, Todd Bohm and Mike Beyer, getting those guys ready to play and play solid defense. I think we're playing really good team defense, and that's been awesome to see. And I think, yes, I would definitely agree that our defense has really improved this year.
What about that Week 2 game? Because I actually think that you could probably – there are some things that you definitely didn't want to see, but at the same time, you fell behind 14-0. You came back, gave yourselves a chance to win late. Unfortunately, a couple of late scores for Chippewa Falls gave them the win. But were you able to take away some building blocks from that game, learning experiences to help your team in Week 1 of the conference and now the rest of the season?
Oh yeah, absolutely. You always learn things in every game. Doesn't matter if you win or lose. You always learn things, positive, negative. But you know, we couldn't turn the ball over. We turned the ball over way too much against Chippewa Falls, and then trying to stick in there and you know, hang in there at the end of the game, which we had the opportunity to do. But if we would have taken advantage of not having some of those turnovers, and maybe would have turned those into scores or maybe field goals, or at least maybe converting to a few more touchdown first downs or something like that, it would have changed the momentum of the game. We let them hang around too long, and you know, I thought we, you know, I still think we're a really good team. We just need to make sure that we don't get in our own way mentally and things like that. But yeah, I think there's definitely things you can learn, and I thought we did a good job against Appleton West, and I think we have a really good challenge here this week against Marshfield.
Coach, I think you have a new offensive coordinator this year, and I noticed there's more of an emphasis on running some more solid run plays, you know, bellies, dives. Is that something that you want to, you know, you've been trying to do?
Yes, definitely. Yeah, we want a little more variety as far as into the run game, and Jake Coonan does a tremendous job, and he's he's an offensive lineman at heart and at mind, and I think he understands that piece a little bit, so he spends a lot of time into there. And when we get Bill Franklin and Dave Wanta and myself helping out a little bit more, and Dave's big into the run game, but Bill and I are into the pass game, which gives us a little bit more time to focus in on the pass game versus just being in the run game. So I think we balance each other out really well, and Jake's been doing a heck of a job.
Looking at some of the numbers running the football, averaging between 4 and 5 yards per carry with your top running backs, it looks like a couple of Bankstons. Could you talk a little bit about what you're seeing so far from your run game, and where do you need to continue to improve it in order to make it that dominant force that we've seen from DC Evers over the years?
Yeah, I've been really proud of our running backs so far. You know, Caden Bankston, Blake Bankston, Benny Tesh. They've done a really, really good job, and we're going to get Simon Witt back here. I think it's just going to keep on improving, and then with time, with those guys just seeing the looks, they're pretty inexperienced. I mean, last year we had Brock Babish, who had a lot of experience, and we're getting these guys looks each and every day, and every day in practice, he's been continuing to get better. Blake Bankston, being a sophomore, just needs to keep on getting as many looks and as many opportunities as possible, and you see him growing day within the system, doing a nice job. Vinny does a really good job. He's explosive, and I think if we can get him out in the open, I think you're going to see his speed a little bit more, and he might be able to break the longer run.
I also noticed that your linemen were a little experienced. You have the one kid, I think you moved him to tackle, and it seems like, as I watch from your scrimmage, probably, and then this game, they seem to be getting better at their assignments, the task, and a little bit tougher.
Yeah, 100%. We've been moving Cole Stevens around a lot. He's been at tackle. Played at center for us last year, and then this last game against Appleton West, we moved him back to center. We've had some kids get injured, just like every other team, right? Whatever the week we're in here is just starts wearing on you a little bit. So we've had some injuries. We've been moving some kids around. Cole can pretty much play wherever, and has done a really, really nice job. Obviously, a weight room rat, can commit himself to the weight room and really doing a nice job there, getting stronger and things. So I'm proud of our kids. We keep on working hard. It's always nice having the offensive coordinator be, kind of the offensive line guy, too, with Scott Jarek, and, giving those kids enough love and understanding of how important they are.
Again, we're talking to DC Evers Evergreen head football coach Tim Strelo here on the Big High School Sports Show on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, online at bowfallsradio.com, and mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO. I just saw from Cole's Twitter feed that he's got a Division I offer at Eastern Michigan. I imagine when other kids onto the team see somebody who works hard to be able to get those offers and to have these opportunities in the future, that's something that can build within a program as well. Is that correct?
Yeah, that clearly helps. Cole's offer, though, for the Eastern Michigan is for track and field.
Oh, really?
So he's a multi-sport
very good
guy. Yeah, he's a very good multi-sport type athlete. Cole definitely can play college football if he chooses to do so. Not sure at what level or anything, but I think he could get looks if he chose to do so. But yes, I do think, when you get college kids, and we had Zach Miller playing against the Badgers just this last weekend for the Redbirds, that really creates interest into your program and seeing that kids can make it and do it. And, the hardest part about college and trying to compare yourself to those kids is, you got to have the intangibles, right? That's the physical intangibles. And, Zach's a guy like he's 6'5", 300 pounds. You don't always have those kind of kids either every year, but it definitely helps to see that kids can make it in the college level coming from, DC Evers.
Coach, I want to turn to the quarterback play. Babinski has struggled a little bit when I watched him at Preble, little interceptions, but the last game, he really had a good game.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did. And we had talked, we talked a little bit about the turnovers and things like that, managing the ball, managing the game, and Paul, you and I talked about that this summer about being able to complete the long ball when it needs to be, and you got guys wide open, and in managing the game and not turning it over. And, you know, Jack struggled a little bit. I think he was forcing a little bit, you know, early in the season. But I think you just see him now, even through Chippewa Falls about second half on, I really think he's gotten better. And he's not forcing things as much. He's reading the field a little bit more, managing the game, and hitting the guys that are more open.
Well, I'll tell you,
versus forcing it.
He threw a nice corner route when it was a tie game at Preble that was right on the money. I think it was a turning point of the game because you guys came out in the second half and just went right after him.
Yep. Yeah. Yep. And I think with Jack's leadership is so good too. He's a confident kid, and I think that rubs off on the rest of the group that you can come out and go, and we have to just kind of ride his coattails a little bit. He's done a nice job.
And actually, that's an interesting point because I was going to ask one more question about Jack. Is that I would sit in the bleachers during the 7-on-7 this summer. He looked like he was filling that leadership role, the confidence factor. He throws a nice ball, but I mean the way he carried himself. That you need that from a quarterback, right?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, your quarterback is really the face of your. You could argue your team, but he's also the face of your offense. And I think, obviously, the most visible guy that's out on the field. Everybody looks at the quarterback, and I think he completely understands that. Having his dad played some college football and at Augustana, and you know, I think that makes a big difference because dad's able to relate with him and teach him a little bit, you know, on the side of what's going on. I know Jack's put a lot of time in with his dad in preparing for the season too.
I also noticed that you played Reese, number 7, in the Preble game, and boy, he looked like a very good runner.
Yeah, absolutely. Reese is fun to watch. He came in and really surprised, I think, all our whole coaching staff. And when I say surprised, I mean I guess I can't even say maybe surprised, because when you watch Reese and how he committed to summer and what he did to get himself in position, he really worked his butt off and did a nice job. You know, was at the weight room pretty much 100% of the time, and you know, he was able to work with guys one on one, you know, with their routes and doing things like that. He really took over, you know, from a leadership standpoint. And it really makes me excited to know that he's, you know, this year he's our backup, but you know, next year he has a possibility to be the starting quarterback, and how he took over things, and I'm really excited for him. And Reese and Jack both are just such great kids. I'm excited for now and for the future.
On the defensive side, when you get 8 sacks in a game, by that point I'm guessing that quarterbacks are starting to see a few ghosts out there on the field. But to put a lot of pressure on, to give up just basically the defense gave up nothing through 3 quarters when that game was out of hand because the only points came on a kickoff return. But defensively, what's your take on where your team stands right now? What's it doing very well? Maybe what's the areas that you got to be better at as you continue into the conference campaign?
Yeah, I like where our defense is at. I like our attacking-type style defense right now. I think Coach Kleinschmidt, you know, really has those guys pumped up to get after the quarterback. And I think, you know, with Appleton West, with how much they were passing the ball and you know, what they were showing in the games before this, that we knew we had to get after the quarterback because we can't let him sit back there and have all day to throw because, you know, obviously if it can't become a 7-on-7 game, you know, in football. So we really needed to get pressure, and we really challenged our guys to get after it. You know, I think what we got to keep improving on is, you know, it'll be this week. It'll be a little bit more of a test because you get back to Marshfield. It's a little bit more heavy in the run game. So I'll be interested to see if we're stout enough to hang in there with a good Marshfield football team that's coached really, really well and has good athletes. If we can hang in there and go toe-to-toe with people and stop the run.
Speaking of Marshfield, we'll get there in a second, but how do you see the rest of the old Wisconsin Valley? You know, obviously Appleton West and Hortonville are new, but, you know, obviously it's traditional Valley. I mean, where do you see the other teams?
Yeah, I think, you know, Point right now seems to be throwing the ball just a little bit more, and you know, I'm not sure with their opponents that they've been with as to how good they are at this point. But, you know, Point is always, you know, as a school is that size, they're always going to play us well, and they always do. You know, I think Rapids will be a team to beat for us, and I think Wausau West, you know, if I were to look at things, Wausau West is probably, you know, right up in the top group, and I hope we can play them well the last game of the regular season.
I know you're not looking at it. I know nobody else on the squad is looking at it, but I'm already looking forward to seeing you at Tom Field in week 9. So the calendar is circled.
I think that's going to be a big game, and I think, you know, Wausau West has probably got to be probably the team to beat in the conference this year.
Go ahead.
No, go on, Paul.
Well, you mentioned West. Chad gets up. I want to talk a little bit about Marshfield, the game Friday. It's actually our game of the week. I'll be there watching it. You know, Marshfield has had some struggles a little bit, but they're still a fairly good football team. I mean, what are you anticipating Friday?
Yeah, you got a pretty dang good quarterback, and I think they're running back. We need to contain him right away because I think, you know, their offense, if it starts gaining confidence, you're going to see them grow during the game. And, you know, we can't let them establish the run. So our defense needs to step up right away to establish, you know, our dominance as the line of scrimmage and whatever else. But, you know, defensively, you know, they do enough things. Coach Young, Lukey, does enough things on defense that always keeps our offense, you know, off balance. And, you know, they change the front up every once in a while and whatever else. So I would anticipate a good old-fashioned, probably low-scoring type game. And, you know, we're going to see if we can slug it out with those guys. That's typically what happens between Everest and Marshfield.
How do you like these kind of weeks where you know Denny Gatel so well? You know Coach Lutke Jr., you know, calls that side of the football so well. I mean, you know Marshfield so well. They know you well because, you know, you've been around D.C. Everest now for a while. These kind of games where there's not many secrets, how does that change preparation in a week like this? Especially, it's a rivalry because Everest and Marshfield played a lot of big games over the years. What's this week kind of like when you know each other so very well?
Yeah, I think, you know, you're not, unless you're going to pull out a whole new offensive scheme or a defensive scheme in one week, there is probably not a lot of secrets. You might have a trick or so up your sleeve or whatever else, but, you know, I think when you talk to the kids and you prepare the kids for a game like this, it's the discipline part. It's going to be the team that makes the least amount of state mistakes. And, you know, you got to play hard and go as hard as you can, but you got to also protect the ball and do things that you can't play to lose, but you got to make sure you're aggressive and all that nature. But you got to make sure that you're being smart. And I think the discipline factor, the penalties and all those mistakes, is we can keep them to a minimum. I think those are the teams that are going to end up winning, and then obviously your conditioning and all that sort of stuff comes through in the fourth quarter.
And I guess before we wrap it up, I got one more question. It's about the big picture, because you know D.C. Everest so very well in your playing and coaching careers. I'm going to ask you, where is the D.C. Everest program right now? Do you feel like I think I asked you this last year as well. Do you feel like the program is continuing the steps upward as you try to build this program to become a power within your league, and also again to try and become somebody, a team that makes some noise in the postseason?
I always feel like we're getting better. We're no different than any other team. We have our problems and you know, we have our issues that are within our team or our program, and that I'm always trying to fix and make, you know, make better. But you know, I definitely feel like we always continuously make steps going forward, adding coaches or new coaches or, you know, whatever it may be. We're always trying to get better. We're always trying to look for the secrets to, you know, making this thing better. And, you know, I've had numerous conversations with Paul before about, you know, how do we look, what are we doing, and things like that. And I guess we just, as long as you stay open and as long as you stay willing to learn and always be, you know, even coachable as a head coach, that you can make positive changes, I always feel like we're trying to move forward.
Well, so far so good. 1-0 in the conference, looking for 2 on the road against the Marshfield Tigers this week. 2-1 overall. Coach, again, it's always great to talk to you. Best of luck on Friday night, and best of luck throughout the season.
Thank you, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Yep. Good luck, Tim.
Thank you.
Head coach Tim Strelo of the D.C. Everest Evergreens. Again, the Evergreens off to the 1-0 start in conference. Coach, we got about a minute to go. I guess what you've seen D.C. Everest a bit, and you said it. They're getting better, aren't they?
I think from the scrimmage, my perspective is, I told you earlier, that they threw too many interceptions. They didn't protect the ball enough. I think Coach Strelo is very much aware of that, that was an issue that cost them at Chippewa. And I thought their defense gave up too many big plays. And I think they've gotten that under control. And you can see that they're starting to fix those problems slowly. And again, he said it. The team that probably doesn't turn the ball over Friday, doesn't, you know, get interception, fumbled, doesn't give up the big play, plays good solid offense, tackles well, plays good solid special teams, is going to be in a position to win the game.
And they got that pressure, both Marshfield and D.C. Everest, knowing that,
well, I'm gonna
Paul,
be there.
That Paul Novinci is going to be sitting in the
It's going to be a good game to watch, yo. Our next guest actually played a game at that field.
We will talk to Davin Stoffel of Molson Eagle coming up next after the news here on Bull Falls Radio. And welcome back. It's hour number two of the Big High School Sports Show on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Online at bullfallsradio.com and mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO. With former Molson Eagle head football coach and Wisconsin Football Coaches Hall of Famer Paul Novinci, I'm Chad Holmes. And again, thanks to D.C. Everest head football coach Tim Strelo for joining us in the last segment. And now time for our student athlete guest from Molson Eagle High School, their outstanding multi-sport athlete, Davin Stoffel. And Davin, thank you very much for popping on by.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Let's talk a little bit about the start of the season. We were talking with the coach. It's hard to believe we're a third of the way through the regular season already. You faced some pretty good non-conference competition. You got off to a really good start in the conference season last Friday night. What's your general feel for this version of the Molson Eagle Indians 3 games into the season?
Yeah, so we're 1-1-1 right now, which we wanted it to be better going into the season, but it obviously could be worse. We played, like you said, a couple tough teams to start the year. 2 games that I thought could go both ways. But looking forward, I'm excited to see what the rest of the season brings through our conference. I'm very confident in our team right now.
You know, Davin, I don't know if you know this, but I know this. Both those teams you played have won state championships before. St. Cat's won in 2014.
Yep.
So you've faced programs that know how to win, and you were very close to beating both of them. I don't know if your team understands that. Do you think the kids understand that?
I don't think we see the full part of that, but obviously we understand that those are two good programs, and we understand that those are two good teams, and they're nothing to hang our heads about.
For yourself, last Friday, what the thing that always impresses me about football players are the two-way players. And you had 101 yards catching the football, and then they had 9 tackles on the defensive side. How much fun is it to be a two-way player? Do you look at it as the great opportunity to play on both sides of the football like you do at Molson Eagle?
Yeah, so I really enjoy playing two ways. I've done it for – this will be my 3rd year going both ways starting. So, but really, my favorite is defense, which might surprise some people as a 6'6 middle linebacker. But I really like the defensive end of the ball. And then, obviously, on offense, scoring touchdowns and catching passes is fun, too.
Yeah, what about defense do you like? What's that thing that makes you tick?
Just the feeling you get when you can read a play and go make a hit on someone is – you can't find it anywhere else in any other sport. And the energy that brings is – it's – incredible.
Is it just about being able to hit and not be hit? Is it that simple? Is it more fun just because if you're on offense, they're hitting you, and now you're hitting them? Is it, in a sense, a little bit like that?
Yeah. It's always – it hurts way less to hit someone than get hit. So, obviously, it's nice to be able to reciprocate that feeling back to someone.
Again, we're talking to Davin Stoffel from the Molson Eagle Indians, our student athlete guest this week on the Big High School Sports Show on Bull Falls Radio 98.9. This year on the offensive side, you got another new quarterback, and it seems like at Molson Eagle, no matter who the quarterback is, they're able to put up some pretty good numbers, able to get you and your other talented receivers of the football. What's it like in the transition with a new quarterback? Because you've had to go through this a couple of times.
So we've had some really great quarterbacks in my time in high school. Obviously, Trey Fitzgerald, Mihal Dule, and Trevor Garski. And they've all been similar but different at the same time. They've all been very great quarterbacks, and I think our ability to be able to keep reproducing at that quarterback position is really a show of our character as a team and our willing to work at things. The adjustment is always hard at first, but once we get rolling, it all clicks, and it's looking really good.
What's it like to play with a bunch of other good receivers, except – you know, especially Keegan Jersley. I mean, last year you and Keegan were in the top 15 in the state of Wisconsin with receptions and catches. I mean, that's got to be pretty special.
Playing with Keegan is super fun. We help each other get the ball, you know, because we bring double coverage and leave the other guy open. And then we've got two other guys this year, three other guys, probably four other guys, Ethan Denisha, Blake Nichols, Aiden Shaughnessy, and Jerry Straits, that all they can all beat guys one-on-one. So that really helps us be able to stretch the field, and that's how we get everybody open, is if you guard us one-on-one, someone's going to be open.
It's a defensive coordinator's nightmare.
You mentioned that it is, you know, you've had a great opportunity over the past 3 years to be a major factor for your team. Going into this season as a senior, do you look at your leadership role any differently going into this season?
I've always felt as that I'm a leader on this team. Last year I was a captain too. But obviously as a senior, you really got to step up and really be the main leader. I think we've got other seniors that have really done a good job in that role too, but I don't see it as very different.
Well, we'll come back to football a little bit. You are a multi-faceted athlete. You play basketball, you play baseball, been very successful. How is that, and how important is being a three-sport athlete to you?
I really enjoy my playing three sports. Basketball and baseball are really fun ways to, I mean, if you play one sport the whole time, it's not the same as being able to spread yourself into other sports. And then summers, you get everything. So I enjoy being a three-sport athlete because it gives you a little bit of everything. And you're put into different situations in different levels of games that really help you prepare for every other sport you have too.
One of the interesting things as well is how successful each of those teams has been. I mean, you've had a chance to play for some really good teams on the gridiron, on the hardwood, and then on the diamond. And your baseball team was able to make it to the state tournament last year. It was unfortunate that you couldn't play in Fox City Stadium because of the
weather delay,
the monsoon that came that night, you know. But at the same time, does the taste of a state tournament on the diamond give you a taste for this football season, for the upcoming basketball season, that, hey, I want to experience that in other sports as well?
Having that pressure of being at a state game really helps you acclimate to that climate. And it's something, it's a really great feeling, and that's something that you want to reciprocate. So that's really a driving force to want to get back there in any of the other three sports.
Let's get to know Davin a little bit outside of the sports. What do you like to do? What besides, you know, playing the sports, what are the hobbies you do?
I like hunting and fishing. I'm a big puzzle guy, which might seem weird.
Jigsaw puzzles?
Yeah, jigsaw puzzles.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
I like
So in school, I'm a big math guy, like math.
Haven't you, exhausted all of Mosney's math courses, right? You're taking college math right now, right?
I was kind of.
Okay.
And I think you need that math stuff for the tackles, for the yardage, for the points on the rebounds, the batting average, and the RBIs and everything else. Again, we're talking to Davin Stoffel from the Mosinee Indians, our student-athlete guest here on the Big High School Sports Show on Bow Falls Radio 98.9. You have committed to go to college. Where are you going to college?
I'm going to South Dakota State to play tight end.
And the thing about that is, and that's a terrific, there's a lot of battles within their conference and within the division. Could you talk about the process? Because as a recruited athlete, you have to, I think, grow up a little bit, because you have to take into consideration some pretty big decisions. You have to, you know, talk to coaches and talk to your parents and talk to other people that may know a little bit about these schools. What was that like, having to go through, be recruited, and then ultimately make a decision to go to South Dakota State?
I had a lot of coaches to talk to. I went through the process, went to camps, talked to different people. But really, I went to South Dakota State, and I, for the first time, and just the facilities there, I really liked, and the people there. was great, and I really felt at home, and that was one of the biggest deciding factors for me, was that I really got along with the coaches well, and the atmosphere at there with the football program was something that I felt that I wanted to be a part of.
Yeah. They almost beat Iowa.
Yeah.
Saturday, 7-3. It's like, wow. What advice would you give to somebody that possibly is thinking of maybe playing college football, or they're in the recruiting process? Is there anything that you learned from it?
What I learned is branch out and go to different camps, all different levels. Try to find your value within that system, but also understand what you think is your value. Obviously, looking at it, South Dakota State is an FCS program. There's a level higher than that, and I feel like South Dakota State is a very good program with where I want to be, and I see myself fitting in really well there. But at the same time, they're at a high enough level that I think that I'm competing at about where I want to be at. Otherwise, just talk to coaches about different things. Figure out their program, what they want at your position, and really get to know the coaches so you know that that's a fit that you want to be a part of.
And I think over the last number of years, people are seeing that competing at the FCS level is, I mean, you may say it's not as high, but boy, the opportunities are just as big there for being seen. I mean, there's potential. We've seen some FCS players make some big splashes at the next level, and just watching, as Coach said on Saturday, and bottom line is, and I think Coach, you'll agree, it's like, it's amazing to get an opportunity to play at the next level. If you look at the percentage of high school athletes, I mean, just the accomplishment that you're making right there is just pretty amazing.
And if you haven't been to South Dakota State, they've invested a large amount of money in their athletic facilities. It's impressive what they're doing out there. Do you know what you're going to major in?
I don't know for sure, but I'm thinking mechanical engineering.
Oh, man. This guy's pretty impressive, isn't he? Mechanical engineering, man, that's
he
terrific.
He got a pretty good score in his AC. He's going to do okay.
Outstanding. Going back onto the gridiron, I mean, this is, again, your senior year. Got a new head coach. What's that like? I guess we should probably share that the new head coach of the Mosinee Indians is Davin's father. I guess, number one, it's always interesting to have a new coach, but then to have the family connections that you have now within the coaching staff, what's that been like?
He's been my coach, and like you said, I'm a three-sport athlete. He's been my coach in all three sports growing up, so I'm really used to the way he coaches. But at the same time, I think he brings a really good intensity level to our football program, and I think he's pushing us to be better players and a better team as we go along. And like you said, that family aspect, obviously he's the head coach, my uncle's the offensive coordinator, and now my brother Treve is a freshman. So that's really cool to see how we get along, and we get along with the team, and how we're growing together as with the team to be the best we can be.
Let's talk a little bit about the GNC. What's your take this year on the GNC?
The GNC is always a super tough competitive conference within its teams. Obviously, the Medfords, the Rhinelanders, all those other teams, they're going to bring it every time you step on the field. I think there's some strong teams, but I also think that we are a very strong team that has the potential to go back-to-back as conference champions, but we got to go out there and show it.
When you play a team like Medford, it's always tough football. Yeah, those are the nights that you kind of crave, because you said you love the defensive side of the football. You're terrific on the offensive side. When you face a team like Medford that you know that if you're going to win that football game, you have to win basically physicality, win up front. I imagine that's one of the great challenges you face every year, that game against Medford. Not to take away from any of the other games, but it's just interesting because Mosinee's always been known, going back to this guy's coaching career, as a team that throws it around a little bit. Medford's always been a team that's kind of been known as they're going to pound and ground it. It's those are always interesting matchups. I imagine for you as a player, that's an interesting dichotomy as well.
Yeah. Those big rivalry games, especially with Medford, we have the cheese grater. But
it's a legit rivalry. It's
yeah,
big.
it's a big rivalry in our conference, and those types of games are what really have the high, strong atmosphere where, you know, we're going to bring it and, you know, they're going to bring it. And everybody knows that it's going to be a tough fought game, physical game, like you said. And it's really a show of what our conference is. There's a lot of teams that are like that, the gritty teams. But yeah, that Medford game is really the big game this year. And yeah, those are the most fun to play in.
Well, Friday you go to Ashland. Do you have your passport ready? You know, because you might, I mean, that's a trek. I mean, you're talking like 180 miles for a conference game.
Should use coach's private jet.
No,
that one, right?
Yeah, right. What are you expecting from the War Dockers on Friday?
Obviously, with a three-hour drive, we ourselves, we know that we need to stay focused and keep our eye on the prize, so to say. But we know that they're going to bring it. We think they're going to try to power the ball. But I think we got to start fast, get off the ball early, and then try to keep them down.
And I guess my final question is, going into the senior year, and you've had so many great accomplishments so far in your high school career, you know that you're going to have opportunities at the next level as well. Do you have any particular goals that you have set for this final year at the high school level, maybe beyond, you know, numbers or anything like that? But what are your goals here to finish off what's been such a stellar high school career?
There's nothing really in particular, but that commitment, I mean, it brought some weight off my shoulders. But at the same time, I know that every week I got to go out there and show everybody that that's where I belong and that's the type of player I am. But otherwise, I just want to be able to take our teams in football, basketball, and baseball as far as we can. I'd love to get back to a state game, even win a state championship. But I'd also like to repeat in as conference champs in all three again.
It's going to be a tough game. I have another question. The road team has not won. Ashland Bozini has not won since 2008. It's going to be a definite interesting game. I have one more question for you.
Sure.
It's always end this. You know, you being a leader and everything. If there was some young kid out there from Bozini that said, "Hey, Davin, I need some advice about life," what would you tell him?
I would say take advantage of the time you have in high school. Really put the work in the summers, off seasons. But it goes fast, so enjoy everything you can. And be grateful for where you're at and continue to grow on the player or person that you are.
Davin, thank you for coming by. Congratulations on all the success you've had so far. Best of luck during your senior year, and best of luck as you head to South Dakota State.
And best of luck on the bus ride.
Yeah. Anyone who's done a long bus ride knows that luck is really needed. But thanks again, Davin, for coming on by.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Davin Stoffel, again, from Mozini High School, our student-athlete guest this week on the Big High School Sports Show. We're going to talk about Mozini's trek up north and all the other week four action coming up next. It's the Big High School Sports Show on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, online at bowfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO. And welcome back to the Big High School Sports Show on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, online at bullfallsradio.com and mobile devices by searching WXCO. With Paul Novinsky, I'm Chad Holmes. And again, I enjoy talking to Coach Strelo every year because he's very, very forthright and open and gives us a lot of information. And Davin was fantastic as well. I don't got you for some reason. Why is that microphone not working now?
How about this one?
Let me turn that up.
Yeah,
I hate this one because it buzzes up, but I have to figure out why that...
Well, first of all, I like your music. And second of all, yeah, our guests, to me, they're the best part of the show. You know, it's what I like. Because where can you get that in-depth... where can you get that in-depth talking and knowledge about certain things? Like, Coach Strelo gave us some insight into his team that you'll just never get. And Davin here,
I've been with Davin for a while. He's very intelligent, good leader, very good young man, and he's going to do bright things, and I'm happy that he's going to the next level and going to fulfill some of his career goals.
Absolutely, and I always just love the fact that we get, 15-plus minutes to talk to these people.
Well, you get things, you get to hear something that nobody else will. People will watch them, but they'll never know that he likes to put jigsaw puzzles together.
And he's a brilliant young man.
Yeah, he's brilliant, very brilliant. I had him in seventh grade. He won the geography piece several times.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Well, let's talk about week number four, heading into the second, the second try.
Well, you know, before we start, it's amazing. We never talk about this, but weather really affects performance. Right. When you play outdoors, it really does. And we've had some weird weather. Monday through Thursday, it's been beautiful.
Perfect.
And then here comes the weekend. And the weekend's been possible thunderstorms, cold. I mean, it may be a cold front coming through Ashland. I went to one time in Ashland. We left here. It was 70 degrees. In Ashland, it was 35 and snowing. You need to be prepared. That off Lake Superior, you never know what's going
to
happen.
And these teams that have to deal with lightning delays, that's a big factor in these football games.
We saw some of that outcome last week. You look at Ashland and Rylander, they moved in the dome to play. So you know, some people, again, how do you handle life struggles?
Yep.
And some teams do it, some kids do it, some people don't.
Absolutely. Let's talk about this week. We're going to start with the eight player this weekend.
And I'm glad you're doing it because I really feel sometimes they get cheated.
Absolutely.
I think eight-man football is awesome.
In the Central Northern Border crossovers, there's actually two very interesting games on Saturday. I'll be at Newman Catholic High School. We'll have the game right here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230 online at bowfallsradio.com and mobile devices by searching WXCO. Number one ranked team in the state, the defending eight-player state champions, Newman Catholic, against the number four ranked team in the state, a team that made it to the semifinals and almost made it to the state championship game a year ago, Wabino Leona, and both teams undefeated. And again, really a great matchup, and you love to see these kind of matchups.
I wish I could be there because I think it's going to be a great game. I think from a standpoint of a coach, they're going to have a hard time handling Newman's offense. Mm-hmm. I think their solution is going to be a pass rush. Try to put the things on. But Newman is just so multi. You know, they're just everywhere. I'm wondering, again, Newman's defense will have to come and answer that tough physical running game.
Yeah, Wabino Leona put up this big number so far this season. So, again, that should be a good one. 1 p.m. on Saturday
afternoon. I wish I could go, but I'll be in Madison watching Washington State.
Yep, that's a pretty good excuse. That's going to be
– Well, I know the Washington State coach played at UW-Stevens Point.
That's fantastic.
I know him, so it's kind of neat to go there.
It really is. Also Saturday, I think this is going to be a very competitive game. Port Edwards has to make the trek to Three Lakes. I was up in Three Lakes a couple of weeks ago. It's a solid football team, picked to be third in the Northern Border. I think Port Edwards is a team that's going to be maybe second in the Central Conference. You said it's a tough week for Port, so I guess you can throw everything out the window in terms of the X's and O's. But hopefully for those young men's sake and for that school's sake, there's
community.
a little bit of.
Here's what I know about people in life, and I think sports are part of it. You have opportunities, and Port Edwards is going to have an opportunity. Is it going to be a tough one? Yes. And to go through what they go through, you know, it's an opportunity to perform at a high level under circumstances that are not in the best of conditions. And we'll find out where they're at. I mean, I think they've got some talent this year. The quarterback, that Trenell kid, is very good. Mm-hmm. They got a few linemen. They also have a kid that can catch the ball. But Three Lakes, we know, even though it was hard and they had some kids out against Newman, it'll be a good game. It'll be a good match for Port Edwards. And they got to make the trick. Now, they went to Niagara. They're like road warriors.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're going to Three Lakes. They should just got a hotel.
Exactly right. The other games in these crossovers are programs that need a foundation, I think. These are a lot of struggling programs right now. And I think we're still seeing the gaps in both 8-player and 11-player football between the haves and the have-nots. But the other crossovers, and I think, again, these are important games for these programs. When you have an opportunity to win some of these games, Almond Bancroft has struggled, Niagara struggled. Almond is at Niagara. You got Boulder Gresham at White Lake Elko. Again, a couple of programs and Goodman Pembine at Marion Tigerton. And Florence is actually a team that made the playoffs last season. They go to Tri-County, who's had their struggles. So, chances, opportunities for some of these programs.
But here's what I've noticed about eight-man football that I like. Fits Newman very well. Generally, you need less linemen. Now, some teams run an offense where they have the linemen, they use it. It looks very similar to 11 because they just have tackles, you know. But most people don't run tackles that much. So if you don't have linemen, when you say have and have nots, I'm thinking in eight-man football, it's linemen. People that don't have a lot of linemen are the have-nots. Yeah, skilled positions, stuff like that. But it's easier if you do have three or four linemen, you know, because no one doesn't really have a lot of linemen, but they have enough to function. Mm-hmm. And they've taken on the defensive side. I remember them taking wideouts and putting them in a nose guard and being successful.
Mm-hmm.
So putting kids in positions, all these games, very important matchups because it matters now. It's starting to really matter.
Yep.
And with the way the format is for the eight-man football, not everybody makes it.
Every game matters.
Every game matters.
That's different than an 11-player where
totally.
The conference is basically the determinant. Every game matters in these crossovers.
More so than ever, and especially if you can get that number one or two seed.
Exactly right. CWC East and CWC West, the East dominated those crossovers last week, winning all six games this week. I think the best matchup of the group is Owen Withy at McDonald.
I think that's old school.
Yep.
I mean, that's old school, and I think both teams are physical. I want to definitely get my chance to go over there. I might venture off Thursday to watch Elk Mound Regis play 11-man, but I used to love going watching that conference mm-hmm. because they were good games, and you know this. That's going to be a measure of really where people are.
You're right. McDonald had that great win at home in week one against Greenwood, had the loss against a very good Thorpe team last week, and Owen Withy 2-0 going into that one. The other 2-0 teams in the CWC East, Athens, coming off their come-from-behind win. They are at Bruce this week. Gilman is home against Cornell, and Thorpe at New Auburn.
Yeah, I still think they're going to do well.
I do, too.
Cloverwood teams will do well. I just think they've got some issues that the other people don't have. They have physical. I don't care what I saw. If I ever saw an Owen Withy team that wasn't good, they still were physical.
Mm-hmm. And, again, it's just very interesting. And it's going to be fun when those teams start to go head-to-head in conference,
other. You
know. And it's going to be interesting, again, to see – and I got to kind of do a little research because, again, some teams are eligible for postseason. Some teams are not eligible for postseason. That's one of the things about eight-player that's a little difficult because you got to kind of dig in to see, you know, where
you do. My take on that is we should have a large and small.
I think at some point they're going to have to get around a table and figure out what the best look for both 11-player and eight-player is. How many divisions do you want total? And let's split them up in a fair way.
Again, my take on this is that we are not proactive, we're reactive. It will take people getting upset before something will be done.
That tends to be the case.
And that's not the way it should be.
Exactly right.
We need to do what's best for kids.
Let's turn to the 11-player. Let's turn to the CWC Large. And this is a game that we were actually bouncing around as a potential game of the week. But it's going to be a great one at Wittenberg-Burnhamwood High School this week. The Chargers 3-0. Amherst may have had a couple of issues early this season, but they're still the Amherst Falcons.
Well, I think they're getting some players back, too. And their quarterback is pretty good player.
Yeah, he's putting some great numbers.
But remember last year, Amherst beat Wittenberg in the regular season, and then Wittenberg beat them in the playoffs. So, and I told you, you got to get to the mountain mm-hmm. and knock the king off, and they did. Now we're going to see what the effects is because those Wittenberg kids, their last memory is, we beat Amherst.
And it's very interesting how quickly these rivalries develop. You have tight games, and they were both tight games last year. All of a sudden, this turn. I bet you, for those kids on the field, it's already a rivalry.
Well, they used to play each other, remember? So they still play each other in basketball and other things.
It's different as well when you're at the top of the heap and both teams have been, where the game has this meaning to it, like the playoff game last year.
Number one, Wittenberg has numbers. Number two, I'm interested to see what the residual effect is from them beating Amherst last year.
Because
there are kids that were on the sidelines that said, but we did this. We can do it again.
Stratford coming off their big win against Manoa takes on Shiocton, who gave Amherst a 14-7 game last week. I thought Stratford, they showed some things last week.
Well, I think they're going to play solid defense. You got to stop Shiocton's long ball. They got the two fast kids, quarterback that can throw a little weak in the line. I think Stratford's going to run the ball. I think they're going to stop their play, and I think they're going to take care of business.
And wear them down. I think that's what happened last week as well.
I do, too. Same thing. We're physical. You're not.
Exactly. Can Wyawega Fremont make it 4-0? They have to travel to Spencer Columbus, and Spencer Columbus right now needs a W.
Well, I, I think it's going to be a good game. I think Coach Gorst is going to get his team ready. Mm-hmm. I think they're missing some pieces, and they're pretty young. And you got to go there. You got to go to Spencer. But, boy, Wega's got something brewing there.
Yeah, they do.
I don't care what you say. 3-0, there's not many teams in the state are 3-0.
Nope.
So, generally, the stats say that if you're 3-0, there's without possibly any injuries, there's a good chance you're making the playoffs.
And I'm going to have to dig in and find out when Wega was last in the playoffs. Do you have any idea
how long? Oh, Tom Chase, that would be probably 7-8 years ago.
Wow. Yeah, that's
maybe longer.
I'll dig into that before next
time. Dig into it.
And the other game in the CWC Large, Manawa at Nakusa. Again, Nakusa's really been struggling.
It's actually a good game for both teams. I mean, Manawa, too, just doesn't have the linemen. They got a fairly good quarterback. They don't have, and Nakusa's numbers are low. I mean, be careful. We're getting to the border where I think they started with 26 players.
Yeah.
You get one or two dings, and some of these teams may have to, and I wonder if that's what happened with Lady Smith and stuff like that, because I think it was a pickup game. So you hate to see games canceled because it doesn't give kids opportunities.
Right, absolutely. We're going to take a very quick break and then come back, talk about those Merriwood CWC small crossovers, talk about the Great Northern Conference and the Valley Football Association, and also let you know what our game of the week will be. So we'll talk about that coming up next. Big High School Sports Show on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, online at bullfallsradio.com. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO. And welcome back to the Big High School Sports Show on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Online at bullfallsradio.com and mobile devices by searching WXCO. With Paul Davinsky, I'm Chad Holmes. We are continuing to preview week 4 of the high school football season. And again, this week, there are some crossover matchups between the Merriwood Conference and the Central Wisconsin Conference Small. And I think the game that is going to be the best game will be one that's right here on Bull Falls Radio. On Friday afternoon, it's actually a doubleheader day over at Southwood County Field in Wisconsin Rapids. They got the Valley Football Association matchup at night, and then at the early game, Marathon and Assumption, 4:30 airtime, 5 o'clock kickoff here on Bull Falls Radio. But Marathon, 2-1 overall, 1-0 in conference. Assumption, 2-1 overall, 1-0 in conference. Really, I think a pretty even matchup.
It is, and it's a big game because it does count. And I want you to be aware of it. I was never a fan of 1 o'clock games. I wanted consistency.
Right.
And Friday night lights seem to be good. This is a change, and it'll be a change, because now you're taking 14, 15, 16, 17-year-old kids, and you're changing their schedule. And for Assumption, it won't be that big of a deal, because they're used to but for Marathon, you're talking of getting out of school at 1 o'clock. You're talking about changing your routine, and it's going to be hot. And it could be possible rain. So it could be issues.
Yep, and again, I think this is one of those tests to see how far Marathon has come. They've struggled the last couple of years. They're showing, I think, a much more competitive, and they have better numbers this season. I think if they can go into Rapids and knock off an Assumption team that is the favorite in the CWC Small, expected to be a playoff team, this will be go a long way for Marathon. And as you said, being a conference game and having these tough games against teams like Colby and Edgar and Auburndale still to come, this is a huge one for Marathon.
Well, Marathon needs this. I mean, because they haven't played Auburndale, Edgar, and Colby.
Yep.
You know, they need this. And so
Abbotsford,
who can, that quarterback can beat you anytime. So this is really crucial. But you know what's really more crucial, though, is Abbotsford just continuing to play well. They should have beat Stanley Boyd. They should be sitting at 3-0, and it was turnovers that caused them problems. And so that's where their program has got to get better.
Also, in these crossovers, Iola Scandinavia on the road at Abbotsford. Two programs that have done some good things in recent years, but Iola right now struggling just a bit.
Well, I think they're struggling when they get out of schools their size. Iola's enrollment is down to like 160. I mean, you know, you go play some teams, and those crossover games really are not fair for the small. I mean, I could see one game, but shouldn't count. But, you know, I think when Iola gets into their league, they're going to be fine.
Absolutely. And this one's interesting. Auburndale, them of the average win of about 55-0 so far. They were supposed to play Wild Rose, but Wild Rose forfeited. Auburndale goes to Hurley this week.
Okay. this is the game I've been waiting for.
Yeah, this is interesting.
Okay, number one, Tractor Hurley. Number two, I know the Hurley coach, Scott Erickson. Not the Scott Erickson from Iowa, but
right.
They're physical. Not Hurley beat Crandon. I watch Crandon play. Crandon's a pretty physical football. This is going to be a big test, especially to take the track. We'll find out where the real Eagles are, the Auburndale Eagles, where they're at when this one comes, because if they beat Hurley, they are 100% legit. Because I'll tell you right now, Hurley's going to play the Edgars in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
Hurley beat Edgar, I think, twice last year.
Mm.
Once in the regular season and ended their playoff run. So it's a test.
Absolutely. I think another nice matchup, actually, will be the Pittsville Panthers, who have lost a couple of games in the second half so far this year. They've actually had some chances. They travel to Pacelli.
Pittsville is not a bad football team. They have no depth, and they have no numbers. A lot of their kids are going both ways. I think if they played one quarter, they'd hang with almost anybody, but they're not, and that's an issue. And this could be – and, I have a lot of respect for the – the Pacelli coach there. I think it's going to be a good game.
Absolutely. Two games that probably won't be as competitive. Edgar travels to Rochelle, Loyal at Colby. Obviously, Edgar and Colby powerhouses in the Marrowood. Rochelle struggling big time. Loyal, it's just a tough matchup for them generally. Exactly. So these are survival nights for those
teams. Not a lot of benefit to those games.
No, not at all.
No, it's not. You don't want to put people in a position where it's just really difficult for them to be competitive.
Exactly.
Both teams. I mean, the other teams are looking for competitive games.
Exactly.
That's how you get better.
Oh, absolutely. Exactly right. So those are the Marrowood Central Wisconsin Conference crossovers. Great Northern Conference. And let's start with that bus ride we were talking about with Davin Stoffel, the Mosinee Indians traveling to Ashland. That was an interesting stat you gave during the interview, that the home team just has been very good in this series recently.
Oh, yeah. Most of the time, the home team wins. I mean, think about it. 3 hours on a bus?
Yeah.
Like, Mosinee kids are going to have to leave at like 1:30. To get there, and you got to stop, you got to eat, your schedule's changed off.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at the NFL, most home teams, the home teams have a better chance of winning because they travel on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
So you're in a different bed, not that they're doing here, but I think Mosinee's just got too many weapons right now. I think if Stoffel and Jersley, and if Obremski doesn't throw interceptions, he threw one against Lakeland, but the games they've lost, he's thrown a few more picks. He's young. You just can't turn the ball over. They've got enough weapons. I think the defense is getting better.
And Ashland, to have any chance, will have to run the ball as effectively as they did against Rhinelander last week.
Because zero mistakes.
Exactly. They're going to have to be methodical. I think the best thing for them is to run it three times and move those sticks and just keep the football away from that very potent Mosinee offense.
If they can go on 14, 15, 16 play drives, they'll be in this game.
And that's probably the only way because, again, that Mosinee offense is very, very potent. Medford at Lakeland, and I know that you were a little disappointed in what you saw from Lakeland last week, but this week they're at home. Medford, obviously, a very good football team, but, boy, Lakeland, I don't know if that loss against Tomahawk took a little bit of the wind out of their sails a couple of weeks ago, but it sounded like it was not a great performance last week.
They returned a lot of players. That were second-team all-conference, I won't mention all-conference. And right now they just need to step their game up. I think they've also switched offenses a little bit. They're trying to run more eye offense. And it's hard to go from a passing team, spread team, to a pounded-out type team. That's a different mentality.
Absolutely. Also in the GNC, two teams that have struggled the last couple of weeks. Both have won once so far this season, 1-2 overall. 0-1 in the conference. Merrill at Antigo. Merrill got that nice win against Northern Pines to start things off. Antigo won on the road up in Door County a couple of weeks ago, but both struggled big time last week. It's the war on 64.
They might have some of the best shirts around. Get one. It is the war on 64. It's a big game. It's a rivalry game for everybody. And I think you'll see, if you go there, you're going to see a competitive game.
It's going to be, again, it's a great opportunity. I mean, when you look at it.
Merrill beat them last year on a last-second touchdown.
Yes, it's going to be, I think, a very fun game. And it's always fun. I haven't been to Antigua.
It's a rivalry.
But that's always a great place. Found it to be you felt football when you went to Antigua.
And they're in the middle of redoing that field.
I think
they have new sod in. They're fixing locker rooms. They're doing things. So they're trying to renovate that stadium.
And the Rhinelander Hodags will travel. They make the trek to Hayward. Hayward obviously played very well against Antigo last week, and Rhinelander still looking for that first win of the season.
Again, they don't have explosive players. They're going to have to methodically go down the field, manage it, play good defense, and keep this game somewhat close.
Valley Football Association, battle for the old river jug. The Wisconsin Rapids Lincoln Red Raiders taking on the Stevens Point Panthers at Southwood County. Rapids, I was impressed last week when they played Wausau West.
Leo's a beast.
Yes, he is.
They're a different team with Leo on.
I still think they are going to be a competitive team in this conference in the championship race. Stevens Point got their much-needed win last week. If Spatch can make it two in a row, that would be a major statement.
Well, I think the young coach is figuring things out. They're playing just more one quarterback, not switching. It's hard to do that. They got the talented receiver. In order for Spash to do well, they're going to have to stop the beast, and not many people have done that. Oh. I mean, you may have to sneak 12, 13 guys on the field.
Watching him, I don't want to get in front of him.
He's a beast. They're going to have to make sure they have no turnovers like they did last week against Hortonville. Quarterback play's got to be good, and they played better defense. Mm-hmm. And I think if they could continue to keep progressing, remember, new offense, new defense, new system, new players, they got to figure things out. But I'll tell you right now, if you don't stop Leo, the beast will be on the loose.
Yep. Stevens Point has to slow him down to have a chance on the road Friday night. Appleton West and Hortonville. Hortonville should win that game, but they find ways not to win.
Inconsistently. Their players, they do things. Like, they had a chance to win that Spash game.
They had a chance to win a couple weeks ago.
Against Pulaski.
Yeah, I mean.
A very solid football team. And how do you go from that to not functioning well? And that, to me, that's a just sign of they're just not focused. They're just not ready to do what they need to do. And that's been for a few years now. They've got some talent. They got to find ways to get it together. But again, I think this could be an exciting game because Appleton West throws the ball around. Mm-hmm. And it could be interesting.
Wausau West was supposed to play Wausau East this week in the log game, but East, again, not participating in varsity football in the VFA this year. So the Warriors, I'm going to say it right here. I'm frustrated. It would have been a three-minute ride for me. Now it's going to be a three-hour ride for me to Kingsford, Michigan on Friday night.
First time you called a game out of state.
That is right. But
and their mascot might be the most interesting mascot. We've played them before, so I know a little bit about them. They're physical. They've gone down.
And what is their mascot?
The Flivvers.
It's a car.
So I think this will be a good test because – and a good opportunity, we talked about this off air, this is an opportunity for West to work on the passing game. Because I think they might have to. Because Kingsford will play good box play. From tackle to tackle, they'll be tough. They'll be physical. They have that UP come at me mentality. So this will be an opportunity. If the West staff will take advantage of that, mm-hmm, and work on the passing game and give some easy throws. Throw some flood patterns out in the flat. Throw some easy one-on-one hitches to get that quarterback a little bit more confidence and the receivers a little bit more confidence.
And you can hear Wausau West at Kingsford. I'll be on the call. You can hear it live online at BowFallsRadio.com and the Sports 2 stream, starting with the pregame show at 5:40 because it's Eastern time up there, 6 o'clock kickoff. And we'll also air it on a delay basis after the marathon game against Assumption.
Now think about that. You're going to call a game that's Eastern time.
Exactly.
Isn't that amazing? That's a notch in the feather.
It is. And now we come to our game of the week. And again, we talked about it with Coach Tim Strelo earlier. Great rivalry. Boy, if you look back over the years, some incredible matchups. When it was Coach Lutke against Coach Steffenhagen, huge games for teams that ultimately went on to state and win state championships. But this Friday, it's DC Everest at Marshfield. Both teams 1-0 in the conference.
Well, I think even though most people don't think it's going to be that big a game, to those two teams, it's humongous because they're both undefeated right now in the conference. They really are. They got Marshall got the forfeit. So I think both sides are going to be prepared. I think Marshfield's figuring out that their quarterback play has been inconsistent, mm-hmm, so they're limiting what he can do. They've gone more to a ground game. Defensively, I think they're getting better. I think Coach Strelo said it exactly. The team that does not turn the ball over, does not commit penalties, doesn't give up big plays, and plays good special teams and is going to be able to win this game. I don't think both teams have the ability to put up this, wow, right, we're going to put up 40, 50 points. Because some of those games in the past used to be like that. Mm-hmm. I think this is going to be 21-14, 14-13. Extra points and field goals could be humongous. And I got to tell you, Everest has a fairly good kicker.
And Everest, over the years, has had pretty good special teams with their punters and kickers, with an opportunity to get a little bit of an edge in terms of that area.
Coach Strelo, Coach Pat, the special teams guy, has worked with those kids a lot. They always have good punters, good kickers, stuff like that. I mean, they'll be consistent. To me, this should be Everest's game. If they continue to pound that ball, don't make mistakes. If the quarterback doesn't throw picks, I think Everest should walk away with the W and keep on improving.
I think Marshfield has to get the lead. I don't think Marshfield.
Oh, I agree.
Yeah, I mean, Marshfield cannot afford to fall behind, because then they get out of it, and then they've made mistakes trying to come from behind.
And I think their defense isn't good enough to put out a shutout, mm-hmm. to where, you know, short field, they can't put the ball in the 30-yard line and keep them out of the end zone.
Right.
I think they're going to get there, and you could see them slowly getting there, but I don't think they're ready yet. You're absolutely right. I think also the team that probably scores first might win this game.
I think I would feel pretty confident of that as well. Got about 90 seconds to go on the show. That's all the games. Anything in terms of what you've seen, maybe an issue
Nina.
That you want to talk about here?
Bayport and Nina seemed to be, and I was disappointed with Kakana. I watched Kakana practice, and the Appleton North roughed them up. And Appleton North, it's like 24-0. Mm. Appleton North is not supposed to be a powerhouse team. I could tell you right now, Nina, watch out for Nina, watch out for Bayport. They're going to be solid, solid football teams. Other than the league there, Wanakee looks good.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see any other teams you'd go, wow, look at this team. You know, I think you're going to see more competitive games in the playoffs, and I think that's a good thing. But this Nina team is really – I mean, they're beating some really good football teams.
Yeah, when you talk about Nina and Bayport, I start thinking ahead, because you don't know where the lines are going to be drawn, but there's that potential for some of the teams from our area to have to play those teams.
We've done it in the past.
Exactly. And
well, it's the Naturals.
Yep. So,
location.
So
I don't think the Big Rivers – is as good as it was in the past. Although, I got to tell you, Rice Lake going over to the middle border, watch out for Rice Lake in Division III. They're going to be a powerhouse.
Yeah, well, 30 seconds, where are you going to be this week?
Well, I'm toying with the idea of going Thursday to Carson Park to watch Regis and Elk Mountain play. I always like to catch one of the, because I think Regis is always a special team.
Mm-hmm.
On Friday, I'm going to the Everest Marshfield game of the week. I'm trying to commit, if I can, unless I'm doing concessions, to go to the game of the week.
Terrific. And then Saturday, the Badgers in Washington State. So have fun there.
It'll be interesting. They're underdogs, but it'll be fun. And you, well, I'll be watching the Badgers, but my cell phone will be turned to you.
That's Paul Novinsky. I'm Chad Holmes. Join us again next week. Big High School Sports Show.